Matthew together. We're reminded as we come to verse number 55 of how the Sanhedrin has already falsely accused the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already stood in an illegal trial and been taken to Pilate for final judgment. Pilate, knowing he was innocent, succumbed to political pressure and turned the Lord over to their evil desires. The Romans cruelly treated the Son of God by mocking him, crowning him, scourging him, hitting him, and spitting upon him. The Lord has been brought to the people in a mock royal robe and a crown of thorns on his holy head. Instead of the crowd showing pity upon him, the crowd cries out, "Crucify him, crucify him." The Lord was led as a lamb to the slaughter to Calvary, where they drove nails through his hands and through his feet. He was hung on that cross for 6 hours, three of which God sent divine darkness as the Son of God became sin on that tree for you and I. At the end of those 3 hours, Jesus, the Son of God, has cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The veil has been rent in two, has been torn in two when he gave up the ghost. And many saints of God have been raised from the dead. All of that has taken place when we come to verse number 55. But as we come to these verses, we see that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he had already dismissed his spirit, is still hanging on the old rugged cross. And in our text, along with the parallel accounts, we see some individuals brought out and mentioned that I want to draw our attention to in this service. Now, it's said about one of them, his name is Joseph of Arimathea. It's said specifically about him that he was Jesus' disciple. And this word disciple means a pupil. It means a follower of Christ. Now, it's this thought that I want to dwell on in this service today, the thought of being Jesus' disciple. Now, while this is said of Joseph, I submit to you that the individuals that are brought before us in these verses were all disciples of Jesus Christ. See, it's encouraging that when there were so many against the Lord in this day, there were still a few scattered abroad who were still following Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting to note as we think about being a Jesus disciple that the individuals mentioned in these verses were both men and women. And it's interesting that Joseph was a wealthy man. He was a rich man. He was the member of the Sanhedrin. The Bible says he was one. Now I'm getting this from all the accounts. He was one who waited for the kingdom of God. That means he was expecting Messiah. He believed the Old Testament. He believed the Word of God. The Bible says that he was one who was a good man. He was a just man. And he did not consent to the counsel or the deed of the Sanhedrin to crucify the Son of God. Nicodemus was the one, he was a highly respected teacher among the Sanhedrin. He's the one in John chapter 3 who came under the cover of darkness to the Son of God, the one who the Son of God said, "You must be born again." However, on the other hand, we see some women mentioned. The Bible says there were women, but the Word of God specifically mentions some of them by name. One of them was a lady by the name of Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene was one whom the Lord had cast out 7 devils. She was one that in society, nobody wanted anything to do with her. And then the Bible mentions another lady by the name of Mary, the mother of Joseph. What am I saying? I'm saying as we think about this thought of being Jesus' disciple, Jesus' follower, both men and women are called. Hey, the wealthy and the unknown are called. Those that are respected and those that this world just frowns upon and says, "I don't want anything to do with them." Hey, they can all be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this morning that it's His desire for you to follow Him. And I want you to know as your pastor that I have a desire to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to follow Him to the ends of the earth. And I'm telling you that I want to be a true follower of Christ. He is worthy to be followed, friends. He is worthy to be praised. And in these verses before us and the parallel accounts, we see a true disciple of Jesus put under the spiritual microscope. As a matter of fact, there are, I believe, five or six things that we see about Jesus' disciple in these verses. In other words, Jesus' disciple does this. Jesus' disciple does this. If you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, then you will be doing these things. Number one, Jesus' disciple, first of all, follows Jesus. Follows Jesus. We see this in verse 55. Notice the language. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee. This verse tells us that these many women who were beholding afar off that day had followed Jesus all the way from Galilee. You know what this goes to show? You cannot follow somebody if you're not watching them. You cannot follow somebody if you don't know what direction they're going in. And this goes to show that these women had their eyes on the Lord and they went where He went. And I submit to you that true disciples of Jesus always follow Him, no matter where He goes. Jesus' disciples has His eye on the Lord and He follows Him. Let me ask you a question. Who's leading the way in your life? Who are you following? Are you proving that you are Jesus' disciple by following Him? Let me ask you a question. If Jesus goes in that direction, what should a disciple of Jesus do? Boy, this is deep teaching, I know. This is deep. I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying or not. But here's what I am saying. Everybody follows somebody. You are following somebody today. Jesus' disciple follows Jesus. Wherever He goes, consider these following verses. 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 9:9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and He saith unto him, follow Me. And he arose and followed Him. Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. John 12:26, if any man serve Me, let him follow Me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve Me, him will My Father honor. John 21:22, Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? He's talking to Peter. He said, Peter, follow thou Me. That's what Jesus said. Matthew 8:19-22, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Another of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow Me, and let the dead bury their dead. See, the first thing we see about Jesus' disciple is we see Jesus' disciple follows Jesus. No matter where he goes, Jesus' disciple's eye is right on the Lord. And he wants to go wherever the Lord leads. That's Jesus' disciple. Secondly, Jesus' disciple not only follows Jesus, but number two, Jesus' disciple serves Jesus. We see this in verse number 55. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee. Notice this phrase, ministering unto Him. That word ministering there means to serve. It means that they attended Him. It means that they provided for His needs and for His wants. That's what it means. Now, Luke's account in chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, Luke's account tells us that they ministered unto the Lord's needs from their own substance. That means that what was considered to be theirs, for instance, let's just say that this is somebody's, they gave me this for my lunchbox is what it is. But anyway, because I'm so small, little. Well, let's say that this is mine. It's my stuff. Everything in here is mine. You know what that word minister means? It means right here when it says that they ministered unto Him of their own substance. That means that they didn't look to take from somebody else. They looked to see what they had in their lunchbox that they could give to Jesus Christ. That's what it means. It means that they went among their own things and they realized He's more worthy to have it than I am, and I'll give Him everything that I have. That's what that word minister means. It means to serve Him. It means to put Him first. This means they took their own property, their own goods, and they served the Lord with them. They used their own things to make sure that the Lord was pleased. That's what they did. That's what they did. To serve Him, to please Him, to meet His needs. And they were saying, whatever I have, if it will make God happy, I'll take my hands off of it and I'll give it to him every day of my life. This is what this word serve means. Let me ask you a question. What are you using your goods for? What's in your lunchbox? You're hoarding it? It's mine. It's all mine. Let me tell you what Jesus' disciple does. Lord, you're worthy. Take anything you want. Serves Jesus. Who are you serving? See, just like you follow somebody, you serve somebody too. It applies to me as well, friends. Are you ministering unto yourself or are you ministering unto Jesus? Are you so interested in the Lord being served that you are willing to take your own property to do it? The Bible says in Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. 1 Samuel 12:24, Mr. Kaiser's life verse says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Number one, Jesus' disciple follows him. Number two, Jesus' disciple serves him. Number three, Jesus' disciple desires him. We see this in verses 57 and 58. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate, begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. See, after the Lord died, Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate, and right here it says he begged the body of Jesus. Now, Mark's account says he craved the body of Jesus. That's a great word. Mark says he begged it. Mark says he craved it. The interesting thing is John brings out, now get this, John's account brings out that Joseph was a disciple, but in secret. He was a secret disciple of Jesus for fear of the Jews. But get this, until he saw him crucified. And when he saw the cross, holy boldness filled this man's heart. And he came to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He craved Jesus. He begged for him. John's account adds that there was another man that day by the name of Nicodemus who came to help take the body off the cross, and he carried some spices with him. This was in broad daylight, you understand. The man who once came at night is now coming in the daylight. And the man who was once a secret disciple is begging the body of Jesus with the governor of Rome. Before I get to the main thought about desiring Jesus, let me say this. Service motivated by Calvary transforms character and makes service last. But service motivated by promotional gimmicks, I'm quoting somebody here, which are very popular in our churches today, who are more interested in size than sort. In other words, hey, if you're interested in the size of the church, if that's your goal, may I say this to you? I wish everybody in the Tri-Cities came to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But if that's my goal, we'll do anything to get it. Anything. If your goal is size, you'll do anything to get it. May I say this to you? It's not the size of the church, it's the sort of the church. It's what kind of a church it is. And may I tell you that right here it says service motivated by Calvary will transform character, but service motivated by promotional gimmicks doesn't improve character and will not last. Joseph and Nicodemus, though failures for some time in the service of Christ, really got going when they took a good look at Calvary. It is Calvary, not carnal gimmicks, that will produce quality service for Jesus Christ. Getting back to the main thought here, that Jesus' disciple desires Jesus. The point here is that Joseph wanted him. He wanted the Lord. He begged the body of him. He craved his body. See, he desired to have the Lord so he could properly bury the remains. Let me ask you a question, or several questions. What do you earnestly desire in this life? What are you going after? There again, just like everybody follows somebody and everybody serves somebody, everybody desires something. You desire something. What is it? See, Jesus' disciple, that question has to change. It's not what is it, it's who is it. Jesus' disciple is not going after something. He's not going after fame. He's not going after fortune. He's not going after that or this or that. A disciple, a true disciple of Jesus, realizes the great, great, great thing they have in the Son of God, and their desire, their craving, they beg to have Jesus in their life. This is a disciple of the Lord. He wants Jesus. He wants Him. He desires Him. He craves Him. I wrote a little something here. I don't know if this is original with me or not. I don't think it is, but anyway, it's a poem. Take this world and give me Jesus. May this our desire truly be. Take another glimpse of Calvary and consider what He did for thee. When you look at Calvary, and you really see what the Son of God did for you, you can't help but desire to have Him. You want Him. Number one, Jesus' disciple follows Him. Number two, Jesus' disciple not only follows Him, but serves Him. Jesus' disciple desires Him. And number four, Jesus' disciple honors Him. Honors Him. We see this in verse number 59 of our text. But then also in John's account, I don't want you to turn to it for time's sake, but in John chapter 19, verses 38 through 40, here's what it says. It says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand." These verses tell us how Joseph, along with Nicodemus, came to the cross. And they took the body of Jesus and they wound it in linen clothes with the spices. And this is a precious scene to think about. Here are two men from the same Sanhedrin that has been so ungodly towards the Son of God. These two men who were well known, well respected within the Sanhedrin, they come to the cross and they tenderly take the body of Jesus from the cross. Can you see them as they try to remove the nails from His hands? And they try to remove the nail from His feet. The Bible says that they anoint His body with spices, and they wrap it gently in clean linen clothes. This was an act whereby these dear men of God were showing great honor and great respect to the remains of the Son of God. You know what I've got right here? Would to God that we had Christian men and women today who were more concerned about honoring the Lord than pleasing people. Would to God that we had Christian teenagers, children, who want to honor the Lord Jesus all the days of their life. Friends, you know, He deserves our honor. He really does. And He deserves our respect. Let's give it to Him. The Bible says in Psalm 29:2, "Give unto the Lord the glory." You know what that word glory means? It means honor. "Give unto the Lord the honor due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalm 66:2, "Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious." Psalm 71:8, "Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day." Proverbs 3:9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." 1 Timothy 1:17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. See, Jesus' disciple follows Jesus. No matter where he goes, his eyes are on him and he's going with him. Jesus' disciple serves him. He's more concerned that Jesus' desires are met. And he's willing to take his own stuff, his own possessions, to make sure that there's a smile on Jesus' face. Jesus' disciple desires Jesus. He doesn't crave the world. He goes to Calvary often, and he sees what God has done for him, and he craves Jesus. He wants Jesus. Jesus' disciple honors Jesus with his actions. He wants his actions to show honor and respect to the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. Do your actions honor and respect the Son of God? Number five. There's only two more. Stay with me. Number five. Jesus' disciple, fifthly, sacrifices for Jesus. Jesus' disciple sacrifices for Jesus. See, we see this in our text, verses 59 and 60, where it says that when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. John chapter 19 and verse 39, we've already read this, but it says, and Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight of it. Now in these verses, we see these men were not only willing to honor the Lord, but they were willing to sacrifice in order to do it. For instance, notice how the Bible says that they took the body and wrapped it with a round. Now, the 100-pound here in John chapter 19, when you look at the measurements back in Old Testament days, that was about 75 pounds worth of what you and I would be associated with today. So they took about 75 pounds of spices to anoint the body. Now, I want you to think with me. They had to literally take the body, lay it in a clean linen cloth. Somebody had to buy that. Somebody had to provide that. Then Nicodemus brings 75 pounds worth of spices. Spices didn't come cheap, friends. He brought 75 pounds worth, and they anoint the body of Jesus. They wrap the body and they carry the body all the way to the tomb. They lay it down with honor and respect. They come out of the tomb and they take that massive stone and they roll it into place. Now you say, what's the point? The point is that these men sacrificed for Jesus. They were willing to exert themselves. For instance, Joseph, the Bible says, in Matthew, the Bible says that he put the body of Jesus in his own new tomb. He had hewn it out. But when it came time to bury the Son of God, he sacrificed his own tomb. The Bible says that Nicodemus sacrificed his money to buy the spices, the many pounds of spices. I submit to you that they both sacrificed great effort. So we see that Joseph sacrificed his possessions. Nicodemus sacrificed his money. And they both sacrificed their own time and effort to give glory and honor to God. One person put it this way, only 3 hours were left for Joseph to go to Pilate and get leave to remove the body from the cross, for Joseph and Nicodemus to take the nails out and lift the body from the tree, for wrapping the body in linen with 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes, and for finally carrying it to the tomb and rolling a huge stone to the mouth of the tomb. When we remember besides this, the body of a full-grown man. Have you ever tried to lift I'm talking about the body of a man who could not help you at all. Couldn't help you at all. I'm talking about dead weight. I mean, the Lord's body is dead. He's not dead, but the Lord's body is dead. His spirit's been dismissed. He can't help them right here. It's dead weight. They add 75 pounds of spices to it. And they both carry this all the way to the cross. They had 3 hours to do all of this. 3 hours. Because at 6 o'clock, the start of the Sabbath began. And they wanted to get it in before the Sabbath began. What's the point I'm trying to say to you here? The point is how these precious disciples of Jesus sacrificed for the Lord. They sacrificed their money, they sacrificed their effort, they sacrificed their possessions to honor and serve Him. You know, true disciples of Jesus have no problem giving Jesus what they own, giving Jesus the money they have, and giving Jesus their time and their efforts. You show me somebody who bucks up against giving some finances to the Lord. You show me somebody who bucks up against giving some possessions to the Lord. You show me somebody who bucks up against giving their own time, their own efforts. Let the pastor do it. Let the staff do it. Hey, we pay them to do that kind of stuff. Just let them do it. Somebody who says that has no clue what the local church is all about. None whatsoever. I go out and knock doors not because I'm paid to do it, but because I'm a child of God, friends. The fact of the matter is, the work of the church is to go forward, and the members must take it forward. But the fact of the matter is, somebody who bucks up against these things, they need to take a fresh trip and look at Calvary again. Because when somebody sees the Lord hanging and dying on a cross for them, they'll have no problem sacrificing everything they can to Jesus Christ. Don't go through life saying, "That's mine, that's mine, that's mine." You wouldn't have anything if God didn't give it to you. Neither would I. And a true disciple of Jesus is willing to take his hands off of everything and give it all to God. Then the last thing I want to share with you, we come back to the ladies, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary the Bible talks about in verse number 61. Jesus' disciple has done these five things, but number six, Jesus' disciple clings to Him. Clings to Him. We see this in verse 61. "And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher." Now here's the thought. This verse tells us that after Joseph and Nicodemus had departed from the tomb, in other words, Joseph and Nicodemus have come out of the darkness. They have a lot of boldness. Joseph goes and begs the body from Pilate. Pilate gives him leave. Nicodemus joins up with him. They anoint the body of Jesus. They wrap it. They sacrifice for it. They roll the stone to the mouth of the tomb, and they're gone. They departed. But there's somebody still there. There's two ladies who won't leave. They won't leave. It's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. By the way, it's interesting that the women, these women, if you will, were the last to leave Jesus after His burial and the first to return on resurrection morn. You know, Spurgeon put it this way. Here's the point. Before I give you what Spurgeon said, here's the point. These ladies had been changed by Jesus Christ. These ladies, especially Mary Magdalene, she had seven devils in her, and the Son of God had set her free. The Son of God had changed her life and saved her soul for all eternity. And she loved Him so much that even when He was dead, she wanted to be around Him. There's a great thought that comes out here. I'm getting ready to give it to you. Spurgeon put it this way. Can we cling to Christ when His cause seems to be dead and buried? Hey, you look around America today. You look around the world today. And it seems like the devil's having his way everywhere, doesn't it? Just be honest. Just be honest. You know what Jesus' disciple does? That while Peter and John are hiding for fear of the Jews, and the world seems like it's crashed in, and their hope is lying in a grave, they refuse to leave the tomb. You getting what I'm saying here? When truth is falling in the streets, or is even buried in the sepulcher of skepticism or superstition, Can we still believe in it and look forward to its resurrection? That is what some of us are doing at this present time. This is Spurgeon speaking. Oh Lord, keep us faithful. The point is true disciples of Jesus are to remain faithful to the Lord. and cling to Him even when it seems as if death has set in and His hope has vanished. While the other disciples were in hiding, these precious ladies were beholding the tomb where the body of the Lord was laid. Here's what I'm trying to say. Even though their hope had seemed to be crushed, even during the resurrection, we start the resurrection tonight, we start it, we don't finish it, we start it. We'll learn that even Mary didn't even realize he had been resurrected. Because when she saw the Lord and didn't know who He was, she said, "Please tell me where you put Him so I can take Him away." Her faith had been shaken. The body of her Lord was lying in state. Her hope, if you will, had been crushed. And it seemed like the world was laughing. But even when she was struggling, she stayed by the tomb. She refused to leave. Can I give you a word of advice? Even when it looks bad, God is working behind the scenes. Even when it seems like the Son of God is dead, He's alive forevermore. And even when hope seems to vanish and hope seems to be taken from you, stay by the tomb. Stay close to Jesus. Stay around Him. Because before long, there's going to be an earthquake. And the angel of the Lord is going to descend. And He's going to roll the stone back, not so Jesus can get out, He was already out, but so the world can go in, and the angel's going to sit on top of that stone and dare anybody to come and try to move it back. And who is it that Jesus appears to first? Her name is Mary Magdalene. The one who said, "I don't want to leave. I'm going to stay right here." That's a good southern term for you. Right here. Because He's done so much for me. Jesus' disciple. Are you one? You say, "How do I know it?" Are you following Him? No matter where He goes, are you willing to go? Hey, are you serving Him? Do you desire Him above everything else? Are you honoring Him with the way you live? Are you sacrificing what you have for Him? And even when hope has vanished, are you just trying to stay as close as you can? That's Jesus' disciple. And may the Lord raise up some from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Father, we love You today. Thank You for Your goodness to us. I pray that You'll help us this morning to truly have a desire to be a disciple of Jesus. Speak to our hearts, challenge us, use us today. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play. The invitation this morning is very, very simple. Number one, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? See, Jesus died on the cross, was buried and rose again. Takes all three to make heaven a reality for those who trust Him as their Savior. Have you trusted Him? Do you know the Lord? Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive your sin? Have you repented of your sin and received Christ and Christ alone? Have you today say, "Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I know Him as my Savior. I have a doubt in my mind," or maybe you know you're lost. You say, "Jody, pray for me. I'd like to know I'm saved. I'd like to know that. I don't know it, but I'd like to." Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? Because I'm not sure I know Him, but I sure would like to be able to. Anybody at all? Put your hand up. Put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands right back down. God bless you. God bless you. If you raise your hand to that question, I want to ask you to do me a favor. If you'll lift your eyes and look at me just a moment. If you raise your hand to that question, I want you to look right up here at me. I want you to know that you're not alone. Let me explain. We who did not have to raise our hand to that, there was a day when we did. Nobody's born saved. We all had to make this decision. All of us. Now, in just a moment, let me explain what's going to take place. We're going to have what we call an invitation. What that is that is a time when heads are bowed and eyes are closed, when we invite you to come. If you're a man, we'll put a man with you. If you're a lady, we'll put a lady with you. And they'll share what's known as the gospel with you. And today, you can trust Christ as your Savior. I'm going to invite you to come in just a moment. And I'm going to come right down here and meet you. And I'm begging you to do the right thing. Do the right thing. In just a moment, you'll know when that time is. Question number two. If you are truly a born-again child of God, can the Lord Jesus look at you based on this outline, based on the outline, following Him, serving Him, desiring Him, honoring Him, sacrificing for Him, clinging unto Him? Can Jesus Christ say, you are really His disciple? Are you doing those things? I'm not asking, are you perfect? But are you trying to be? How many today say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but God's really speaking to me. He's speaking to me through this message. I want to be a disciple of Jesus, but there's an area in my life where I need to draw nearer there. It could be in your following Him, serving Him, whatever the outline point that hits you, whatever it is. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm a disciple, but God is speaking to me about getting closer, doing more. Have you say, that's how God's speaking to me. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. Be honest, folks. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help those who are not sure of salvation, help them to come. Help those who are saved but need to get closer to come. Help those who need to join the church to come. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If you need Jesus as your Savior, right now, as soon as he begins to sing, right now, it's your time to come. Do it. Come now. We'll meet you. God help you. God bless you.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I would follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me.
may be seated while we deal with these.
We're dealing with folks here. I hope you understand all of this. Where is Danielle Reynolds? This is Danielle Reynolds. If you'll stand, you can just stand right there. God bless you. Miss Stephanie, if you'll stand with her. Danielle's rode bus 12 today. God bless you. And she was saved in Sunday school class. So today you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Am I right by saying that? So you've trusted Christ as your Savior? Outstanding. We're so happy for you. Have you happy for her? Would you say a big amen? Isn't that great? God bless you. You may be seated. We've got a children's discipleship program that we'll hopefully get going in her life. That'll be good. I'm going to ask Miss Lois Draper. She does not have to stand. She's seated right here on the front row. You say, who's she? She's the one who goes, whoop, whoop. That's her. Amen. She's the wife. Her precious husband's a former pastor in Boone's Creek. She knows the Lord. She's been saved and scripturally baptized. She's been coming on our bus that goes around and picks these precious ladies up. She wants to become a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. She wants to come by her statement. We're so thrilled about this. Amen. You know, I'm glad. Hey, if God's in it, help yourself. This dear lady is not trying to impress anybody. She can shout as much as she wants to here, because I know God's in it. You know, I can sense God on people. I sense God on you, dear lady. Amen. Glory. What's the pleasure of the church? And we receive her by our statement. She knows the Lord. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Amen. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept her on her statement? Brother Cash, Brother Snodgrass, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign, shame on you if you do. Amen. Wonderful. You're now a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Hey, I wish more felt like that. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. That's a blessing. You say, is this all worth it? Absolutely. Let me tell you why. Because we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He's alive and doing well. I'm going to ask you just to stay right there, Miss Draper. God bless you. I know many of you would want to come by and shake her hand. Be prepared when you come by, you know. She might, who knows what she's going to do. But anyway, that'd be good. We're dealing with folks here at the altar. I want to give them plenty of time. So what I'm going to ask you to do is we're going to pray. We're going to pray together. I'm going to ask if you wouldn't mind, just as quietly as you can. Hey, this is holy ground. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is holy ground. So as quietly as you can, we're going to pray and ask God to help us. Be back tonight. We're going to start in chapter 28 tonight. That's behold on the first day of the week, early in the morning. Not going to get through. We're just going to get started. May the Lord help us with it, okay? Let's all stand together, shall we? Father, we love you. Bless, I pray. Help us to be faithful. Bless these precious people who are being dealt with. Speak to their heart. If they need Jesus, I pray today be the glorious day where they accept you. Bless Miss Draper for joining today. This precious girl who trusted Christ. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're coming to shake her hand, you can come this way. If not, just try to be as quiet as you can. And let's leave as quietly as possible. Try to be back in the service tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being here.